Okay. It's Saturday morning, and I'm in one of my favorite places, a little cozy corner in a building in Orlando. So, folks, we go on week by week, like a storm, fire, bad weather, whatever. There's always something happening in the world. I realize after a while, because I've always said to people that if there wasn't bad in the world, you wouldn't recognize good. You know, some people laugh about that, but it's the different ends that let us recognize what we like or dislike, you know, eating one place versus another. The suffering that humanity's gone through throughout the ages is in history books, if we bother to read them and learn about it. It's always interesting. We're a little slow in getting started this morning, so if you don't see us in everything, just keep watching. Anyway, we lost an interesting man this week, Elijah Cummings. Plenty of people die, a lot we don't know about. A lot of people who've done great things in life that their family miss and the rest of it. Sometimes someone who has stood out to us. Having spent a lot of time in Washington, having worked with people, my own family growing up, going to nursing homes when I was a kid, seeing people getting sick, seeing the changes, it makes you as a child wonder, is this what happens to you? You deteriorate, you fall apart. Questions in your mind, are you being punished? Are you going off to heaven? All these good things that you learn about. Elijah, everything I knew about him in general, having been in Washington a lot in my life, and a lot of the time I spent there was even before he was there. I've been in front of committees and hearings where I've testified, because that's what we do. And this is a participatory government. We're supposed to work together. We're supposed to, if we've got something, try and give it for the benefit of others. Generally, I may have worked for a company, I wasn't out there lobbying, but I knew that the people or the industry I worked in depended upon how the laws hit. And I wasn't there to advocate for us getting something special, but for us being allowed to do what we do, to participate in the growth of the country, our industry, whatever. Elijah was one of these interesting people that I've watched at a distance, who aptly named Elijah was one of these prophets in the old days. Name dates back. Quite often, we don't think about it, but parents or family give us a name. And that name, as we grow up and we find out what it stands for or where they found it, sometimes people name you after famous stars. They hope you'll be as beautiful or as handsome or whatever. I remember one of my good friends, when I first moved to Florida, his family gave him the name of Julio Cesar, Julius Caesar. You know, so as he grew up and he understood what the name was, they gave him a lot to live up toward. When he went into the military, he went in for extra training, I guess. You know, different things stimulate us. So Elijah, having the name of a prophet who was, according to the Bible and other renditions of that ancient time, was challenged by other people to show whether his form of what he believed in, because we're always pulling and pushing at each other, and we'd all like to believe that whatever we follow is what really matters. And it's not true. There's no one thing that satisfies all of us. And that's important to understand, because as we grow and we're getting closer to 8 billion people on the planet, we have to learn how to share. You know, it's like I love when I've sent my children when they were growing up to a pre-K. I wanted to send them someplace where they were more enlightened, where they weren't prejudicial in their outlook against people or felt that that school was better than that school. You know, we're all humans. We have to learn to live together on this planet, or we have to learn to kill ourselves and then deal with the devastation. As we get more dangerous weapons, nuclear weapon, whatever, as I've said before, we don't need to build a bigger nuclear arsenal. The billions that we would spend on that, totally unnecessary. What we need to spend on is the most important thing on the planet, people. And the time we waste arguing with each other, hatred, as I've said, I could dislike things, but I discovered years ago, hatred starts to eat at me. I give up part of myself if I really hate. It poisons my system. So, reflect when you get someone. Elijah was the first person of color, black man, to lie in state in Washington, D.C. Deserved the honor. Shouldn't have taken as long. Just as a woman is president, if I could wave a wand and get it done, I'd rather it be done so we get beyond it. With John F. Kennedy, it was, hey, a Catholic. Should we elect a Catholic? Maybe he's going to listen to the Pope more than he'll listen to the people. We always find reasons to think of what's the bad side. Now, we should think of everything. We have to be prepared. Preparedness is great. The more we exercise for a fire or a catastrophe, the less we panic when it happens, so we know what to do. We've practiced. But how do you practice civility? Word that's used that the exact definition doesn't always hit what you think about it. So I entitled today, I always look for something simple and straightforward, but what's the reasoning behind it? And I said, do we need death to be civil? Now, it's interesting. There are certain times when we go someplace. If we walk into a movie theater and there's a movie going on and the lights are off, so you know something is playing, we usually, our brain kicks in and says, be quiet as you go to your seat. People are listening to something. You're supposed to behave and not disturb. They turn signs on to tell you before the movie, don't pull out your cell phone, all that bright light can bother somebody behind you. Being civil is an interesting thing. So, talk about it a little bit, and I want to get into other things, because we have, of course, a man who's occupying the Oval Office that, as I've said before, I don't hate the man, I hate what he's doing to our country. I don't hate one party over another. We all choose, you know, what do we want? Do we want eggs for breakfast? Do we want cereal? That's the beauty of a free society, to get to choose. And that doesn't mean, as I've said before, that freedom is a double-edged sword. In order to have it, you have to give it. So if I love eggs, I want you to have your oatmeal. Everybody should be able to have their choice, and we don't have to run into difficult. We don't have to waste time, part of our life. When you get angry, you get hotter. Things that get hotter burn up more of their molecules and their nutrients and everything else. I'm not saying become sedate and let everything go by, but we have to earn our freedom by giving other people, by talking to them. We don't have to agree with them. That's the beauty of our country. We could say, okay, go back in your house, do what you want. We all decorate differently. We all love people differently. You get on Facebook, you get on Instagram, you get on the internet. The reason I stay away from it, I find the internet has been great from before it was open to the public, when I knew it was out there. To me, it was going to open up a world that's now there, that on my hip, I can research almost everything that's out there in the world. I can say, hey, I had a personal assistant, I refer to it as. And I say, hey, show me Blop. And then I look at the different versions and what, go to Wikipedia, which is the online encyclopedia of sorts, to get the basic facts, because they allow people to update things when research is done. We have to understand what site we're at, what we're reading, and what's going on. So when you walk into a funeral as Elijah Cummings, everybody was civil, as we generally use the term. They behave. Democrats, Republicans, these are secondary terms. Everybody in that room generally was an American. And that's what showed when they were talking about him. They were talking about how they knew him as a friend, as an enemy, as whatever. Elijah was never out to basically destroy somebody. But don't get me wrong. I've always said, if anybody attacks me wanting to kill me or harm me, I'm not going to stand there and let it happen. But generally, that's not what happens. That's what happens when we don't learn to get along with each other. So there were a bunch of people, the Clintons, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi. Everybody wants to be known for what they said, but basically they were talking about the humane side of this man. There was a famous exchange with him and Mark Meadows in one of the hearings recently, where something was said, and Mark Meadows, being like myself, a man who's white and white-haired almost, they were looking at him like he might be racist, and he looked over and he said to Elijah, he says, "You know me better, we're friends." And Elijah, from that chairman's seat, he said, "You're my friend, I know you." And Mark Meadows felt he had to say that, "You know, I even have people of color in my family." That doesn't matter whether you have people of color in your family, whether you have, you're colored and you have white people in your family. That doesn't make you, because you have that attachment, because you've got that fixture. It doesn't make you more or less prejudicial. What makes you good is whether you believe in a God that created us all. I'm not going to get religious on you. I do believe in God. There's no two ways about it. We could always do a couple of hours on that one. So I find it interesting that we can tone down and be respectful, is truly what happens. When someone dies who we valued, he made us feel better when he was in our midst. We don't always have to revere them. We don't always have to go to our church or synagogue to look up and say, "Oh God, when you were running the place or this or that, we were so much better off." No, we have been given choice. We have been given a brain. We can dislike people. Don't live with them. Live on your block. Don't stop them from walking through the streets. It's interesting. I was talking to someone who was near and dear to me, and I was, before I did the show, a day or so ago, and there are things called the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule basically is, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. So how you would like to be treated is the way that you should treat others. Now, you may not always get that closer relationship with each, but when you are in an interaction, that's what you want to do. Would you bar yourself from having a drink of water if you were thirsty? Offer a water. Simple things. You don't have to become their lifelong friend, but you don't have to be antagonistic. What you waste in that extra hot emotion takes away from your own value. Think about it, watch it when it happens, and maybe you'll get it. I'm not saying be kind and nice to everybody. Some people just don't behave. Deal with it accordingly and move on. So the Golden Rule, do unto others. That's part of where I came up with my double-edged sword. You don't have freedom unless you're really giving it to others, because then we're not all free. The discussion I had with someone near and dear to my heart was about another one, where I said, my own daughter likes using the saying, "Can't we all just get along?" And it's great. She's very disarming when she says it. She'd like to start on a softer note, but she'll fight back if she has to, verbally or otherwise. And we were discussing it. I did a little research because we were coming up, where did it come? And they were absolutely right. They told me it came out of the L.A. riots back in the 60s. In the 90s. But it came out from Rodney King. After he was beaten, the famous video where we see the cops beating on him, after he's down and battered like crazy, they just don't stop, which is terribly upsetting to see anybody. Do you fear that person that much that you must keep beating them to within an inch of their life? Is that how you'd like to be treated if you broke a law and somebody was taking you in? Feel the pain every time you hit that person because someone could be grabbing you and hitting you. Anyway, it was Rodney King because I was told it was someone else in the riot. There were different people who stood out in the riots from different videos that happened. But actually, it seems, and I may not have all the facts 100% correct, but after Rodney King was beaten and came out of the hospital, they were using him to help calm down the city and the area and the people over what had happened. And he actually, from what I read, used the line, "Can't we just get along?" Because he was asked to make a statement. And you know what? It's pretty difficult. There are a lot of people who, if you've been beaten like that, you don't want to say anything to anybody. So it made me look again, which I do a lot, because introspection is like you're on a desert island, there are no doctors, you keep yourself healthy by looking in the mirror. And it doesn't have to be a mirror in front of you. We have the ability to look inside ourselves. Close your eyes. Conjure up a good thing in your head to calm yourself down. Close your eyes. Think about someone you'd like to be with. Think about some place you'd like to be. That can help you. There are many tricks that psychiatrists and psychologists would teach you. But the idea is to not let yourself explode for no good reason. There are times to and times to not. So anyway, I was going to talk about a lot of things. Civility, it's interesting. When I did my research late last night to catch up on it, George Washington, we've all heard of him. By the age of 16, back then, pencil and paper, he was after tablets and scratching things in clay. He copied by hand 110 rules of civility and decent behavior in company and conversation. This was a book that he was working with, that he was learning at the age of 16. This set of rules are based by the French Jesuits from 1595. That's over 400 years ago. And the rules, they may sound funny, silly, whatever, because they were written at a different time. In fact, often when I've done research and you have to go back and read things, our language changes, which I've talked about before. We have to try and understand that the structure of a sentence or the words used depends how long ago it was. So I'll just give you a few of them. It's almost laughable, but it was serious. This is how he was learning civil action. Every action done in company, I'm reading the way it was written, ought to be with some sign of respect to those who are present. So in other words, you take an action, like we said, you're entering a movie theater, the lights are off, don't start talking out loud. Second one, when in company, this is cute, and again, look at this structure. Put not your hands to any part of the body not usually discovered. They had strange ways of talking about touching yourself. So they're saying this is in public, how to behave, really. So when you think about it, you know, do we like people who are, we see it in a lot of the videos and other things, people grabbing themselves. I guess it's become too common, like dropping a microphone. If I need that to put a period at the end of my sentence, I don't know how to enunciate, I guess. Third, show nothing to your friend that might affright him. Affright, an old use of a term to scare. In the presence of others, sing not to yourself with a humming noise, nor drum with your fingers or feet. In other words, don't do obnoxious things that upset people. So I can keep reading there, or again, as I said, you could do a little research on the internet. It's kind of cool. It was on the rules of civility and decent behavior is where I found it, Foundations Magazine. It's kind of interesting. Again, the golden rule is simple enough. Goes back to the Bible. Treat others as you would have that you would like to. Easily back, they say, they can trace it back to the Confucian times, which were 500 years before the Common Era, B.C., before we started counting from the time of Christ. So, no matter who said what, we make our life good or bad by how we do treat other people. If we don't want to get along with people, fine. Don't be obnoxious. Just move on. So I decided there have been so many things happening in the last week I could talk about. I've always said to people that, you know, people ask me, I was in the Army. Nowadays, it's common to say thank you for your service. I look at the people saying, I don't always go into it. Sometimes I do. I said, you know, there are a lot of people. CIA is easy to point to. People who've worked for agencies that you don't see them in the military, but they're serving clandestinely, and some of them have lost their lives. CIA headquarters, they've got those stars on the wall in the entrance. For people, excuse me, got a little bit of a sore throat. There are people who've given their lives for our country that we may never know their names. But they understood what this idea was, this concept. They wanted to help keep it alive. There have been a lot of interesting things out there. As we go along, and when I say I don't hate the man, I hate what he's doing to our country. The man is a marketing genius, and he craves attention, as a young child might that never gets past that stage. So he constantly wants to do things, and his own problem is he would make his life simpler if he could just say, oh yeah, that was a mistake, let's move on. He wants to instead, as I've titled another podcast, Herbie did it, Sam did it, Sarah did it. Because someone else did it. This is, again, that famous old saying, two rights don't make a wrong, or two wrongs don't make a right. No matter which way you want to look at it. So just because somebody did something, as I've said, if there were no bad, we wouldn't recognize good. But because somebody did something bad doesn't open the door that we all should copy it. We want to learn from it. We want to grow from it. So let me talk about what's been going on. It really hurts me when I realize through history, because I said when I was 18, I'd read enough history that when I registered for the draft back then, I basically said, take me. If I passed the exam, they would take me in. So I was volunteer Army, because I didn't wait to be drafted or not and hope I don't get. As I've said in prior podcasts, I felt my country, what it gives me, what it affords me, security and other things, and the free enterprise to work and grow, and if I come up with something new and unique, to become wealthy. Nothing wrong with that. So I decided, let me pay it forward. Let me give my service to my country. Because if we don't, somebody's going to do it. Why not us? Why not if you don't serve in the military? And as you hear these statistics, and I've studied statistics, gee, only 1% of the people are in the military. Well, you know, I'd be happy if 0% of the people had to be in the military. But that doesn't mean we can't serve our country. Every time we do something, it has effects on other people. I always tried to make sure that when people worked in an organization that I was in, that they understood the value of whatever they were doing. Because you know what? A clock, when you look at it, has a lot of little gears. Forget the electronic ones and the rest of it. They have circuits that replace the gears, but all of them have to interact to make it work right. And if one little cog over here isn't working right, the instrument isn't working right, the task isn't happening, the neighborhood isn't right, the country isn't right, we all have an obligation to society to participate as we can to help, whether it's feeding people who need it, helping the homeless when it's been a hurricane or a disaster, working with other organizations. So I'm going to get into stuff because what's bugging me is we spent all of this time in history getting to where we are. World War II was one of these big, ugly, old disasters that I never want to see happen again. I wouldn't want my grandchild or anybody's child to have to participate in a war. The wars nowadays, the weapons are more devastating. We have enough trouble with gun control, where weapons are used that are weapons of war used on the streets. Nobody should have to do that. If they're that angry, let them go take a sledgehammer and knock down an old building, get it out of their system. We have to decide there are better ways of getting out anger that we have than taking it out on other people. Because when we say other people, we don't know who they are, so it doesn't bother us sometimes to say, well, they do this, they do that. No, they are us, because those other people who don't know us may look at us and say, well, what do I need them in my neighborhood? I want to live. They're distracting. They're taking things. Everybody has something they've seen where someone's taking advantage of something. Yet if we look in our soul and monitor our behavior, all of us take shortcuts sometimes. You know, we don't want to go through a traffic light. We cut across an island in a highway that lets us get someplace quicker. That 2 seconds is going to do what for us? If you happen to get observed by a camera and they send you a ticket, the time you'll spend in court is not worth the extra half a minute of driving to the corner or making a U-turn or something. But we all do something. No one is pure and clean. So we have to be a little more tolerant. So anyway, I was looking around for things that would show us, as I said, you got to really look a lot because there's a lot of junk out there. What bothered me most is after all of war we went through in World War II, after all the fighting and rushing to who's going to get to Germany first, the Soviets who were on our side at the time were coming in from one side, and really we understood that they were going to grab as much territory as they could, and we were going to grab as much coming in from the West as we could, because we were afraid when Stalin took over that that would be under this communist regime. We weren't wrong. We're never purely right, but we weren't wrong. I can't say we're better, we're different. It took a long time for the Berlin Wall to come down. It was mainly, when you think about it, one of the underlying reasons why the Berlin Wall fell and the Soviet Union fell apart, because Russia is a gigantic country with a long, long history. St. Petersburg, one of their main cities, is not just St. Petersburg over in Florida. It's a beautiful old city I've never gotten to visit. I've seen pictures. I've never gotten to go to Russia yet. But we all have connections to one another. We all have relatives. We all grew out of that same pot if we read the Bible. We're different for different reasons over time, the climate we lived in, the food we ate, whatever. But here we are, we've got a man who is transactional. And, you know, that's fine. When he was in New York City, He could be a billionaire. We had billionaires that are much richer, own more property, and keep those properties and do them. His was a thing of just he wanted face and publicity. And as I said, squandered his dad's fortune, but hey, that was his to squander. But when he runs our country and he doesn't talk to the generals or the intelligence apparatus we built up, and he just gets on the phone and these other people, because he's not the only one with a brain on the planet, between Putin and Erdogan and other people that he admires because they're strong. Is he saying that he'd like to run America the way they run their country? Think about it. Forget their title of president. They're not president of a country like ours where we have our freedoms. So I don't like anyone who thinks they're going to control us all. We try and elect a president to be there to run our country. And as our founding fathers, the brilliance of their thoughts way back then, these co-equal branches of the government, when someone says, but I'm not going to listen. Who cares that Congress has its rights? I'm not going to do it. If you study Mr. Trump, whenever he got into a dispute, he'd spend a lot of money tying people up. He's written about it. He's talked about it. It's one of his defense mechanisms to become more offensive, to start more lawsuits. If you look at all we squander time-wise in arrest, so we end up where he gave Erdogan permission to invade another sovereign territory where the Russians were already there. Within a day or so of him saying it, Russia was already there. Russia put their own military police there, and they're moving our people out. So what if they don't kill all the Kurds, which they shouldn't kill? We should never abandon someone who fought with us and saved our people from bleeding as much by helping carry out our policies of stopping ISIS. And now that he's done this and he gave away this, what has he done? He's given Putin, who's an old-line KGB Russian, who has taken over tremendous power in his country. And it's probably, as I've said, if you really understand what he's taken from the oligarchs and people who developed areas when the curtain first fell and they became wealthy, he made them all give back to him so that he's really in charge. He's probably the wealthiest man on the planet if you looked at it that way. So Putin dreams like any other person who has a dictatorial mind. He'd like to see the old Soviet Union be itself again and have all these countries. Again, it's for what's good for him and for his status. Ego is a terrible thing. It's hard to get someone who's bright enough and strong enough to run a big country. And we think that they need a strong ego. Excuse me. They also need a great dose of humanity and humility. They can't be afraid, but they have to be strong enough to admit if they made a mistake, if they have to shift course, not just come up with reasons why everybody else is wrong. When you find someone who constantly is blocking providing data, if they've done nothing wrong and their conversations were perfect and everything they've done was bigly the best, give them copies, impress them, show them. Show them your tax returns, show them what a good citizen you were. When people have things to hide, no matter how loud they talk, you know that they're afraid to show anybody what they've done. So anyway, Russia is gaining through all of this footholds. As I've said to you, part of what's happened is Turkey now has Russian missiles in a NATO country that's in the middle, right next to Europe, right next to the Middle East. Does anybody really understand how dangerous this is? So we're going to talk about things. I wanted to focus a little more on what people don't talk about. All the industrial countries over time, when we started building up World War II, we became an industrial power. We helped the world rebuild. We built up a lot of the banking systems, you know, the IMF, the World Bank, everything else. We could go through discussions on that. But the industrial countries way back, loaned money to many, many countries throughout the planet to help them grow. You can call it good publicity. You could call it looking around. I will tell you that even in the 1930s, oil companies already sent out geologists to different parts of the planet. I remember that in, I believe it's Mongolia, there's inner and outer. I don't know if they still consider it separate territories. But Mongolia, they discovered that they have tremendous oil deposits there. So if you don't need to use them right away, you want to keep it till it's a commodity that you could charge whatever you want. The Soviet Union, as it was called, before it just contracted back to Russia, which is not a small place, close to equal in population to us, they have, because I used to, as a kid, I wanted to understand all of this, they have tremendous mineral wealth. A lot of it's locked in Siberia, the north, areas that it's more difficult to get to. But that was in the old days. So you want to go to other countries, which is what we did. As I've said, when it comes to oil, as Donald liked to say, we're oil independent. So think about that. He tells us that we're oil independent a couple of months ago. And so we don't need anybody else when it comes to that. Nobody can hold it over us. Then the Saudis have some missiles fired at them, upsets their oil production output. They were able to change it. We helped design those systems and put those plants together. They wanted it so they could control not just the extraction, but the refining and the other. We could always get into that story. But we, yes, we are oil independent. We really don't need their oil. Yet, after they got bombed, all of a sudden, our gas price was allowed to go up again. We do have rules and regulations that this administration said, oh, we don't need all of these regulations. Sure, that's how they're delivering clean water and clean air, by getting rid of regulations that make us have it that way. So anyway, the industrial countries in the 1990s and stuff, at least, got together when they first formed what was called the G8, which is the G7 now, because Russia, being nasty, was kicked out of it at one point for good reason. We won't get back into that. But anyway, the G8, when they were all together, decided that they would all, the industrial countries, write off Africa's debt. Now, this may sound strange to you because you're talking billions of dollars. But World War II, when we built up and we built our economy on rebuilding the world, because if we didn't help rebuild the world, we just came out of a depression before the war. If we didn't build up our industry and sell to the world and help them rebuild, we would have fallen back into that recession, depression, whatever. So it benefited us. We loaned money. There was the Marshall Plan. General Marshall was probably one of the most natural economic geniuses on the planet. He understood economics, which are natural laws. But after the war, in the 1950s, I remember even as a child reading the papers, we were asked by the European countries, and we forgave a lot of the debt. A lot of the debt that we gave out that accumulated were actually grants. Grants are things people don't have to pay back. But this is how interesting economics is. When we gave them grants, they didn't have the money to buy stuff from us. But when we gave them the money and got our money back, we got to build up our industries. It may sound funny to you, but wait, we paid for it. But yeah, it built our country. It built the globe. It made people better so we wouldn't continue in poverty and ruin and living that way. Soviet Union, part of the G8 as Russia, they also agreed to forgive debt. Then they were looking at Africa, one of the poorer continents, poorer only because nobody bothered to develop it as much as the other continents. You know, you can go through history and see why things happened. I used to tell people, if China a few thousand years ago didn't have warlords that were fighting with each other, because of their native intelligence and the rest of it, and things that they invented before we ever were a twinkle in the eye of Europe to become a country, they would have been one of the most preeminent powers on the planet. but fighting with each other. Gang wars, if you would, if it's easier to understand that way, is what kept them from getting there. So we've been writing off debt. You got to read more about the Soviet Union. You have to understand that Russia, which is now, there was debt that they had and things that they did lend to the Eastern Bloc when they took it over because they tried to do it, but it was poorly managed. They had one of the worst economies. Please read about it. They did things that were absolutely stupid when you understand basic economics, but it was more out of fear of controlling their people. They didn't want anybody to have too much power. They didn't want people to have too much understanding of all the parts of putting something together. So they actually made it harder on themselves. Now, there's an agency out there that Russia has called TASS, T-A-S-S. This is the Russian news network. Now, you have to understand, when you leave our country, everything is not a private company. Here, we have news agencies and cable companies that build up and try and entertain you, give you a better show so that they'll get more advertising and they'll become more popular and they'll earn money. That's what our free economy is all about. TASS was started, believe it or not, the Russian news agency in about 1902. Yep, they're 100 plus years old. And they've gone through different things as they had different revolutions in that country, but they're still there. Their name changed a little bit and went back because the original name incorporated in it way back then the word telegraph, because that was that great invention that allowed them to communicate over distance. But then as it grew and went to where it is now, the TASS News Agency, you've all heard of the BBC, they produce shows and they have a big news network, but TASS is as big as Reuters or the Associated Press, which are global news agencies that over time had built up places on the planet and sent back notices and had news feeds that all the newspapers would get and use to deliver news to us. Then it became on radio and TV and everything else, and then got to a point where your networks, your cable networks built into. And I worked in the entertainment industry. I worked for American Broadcasting at a time when we were getting computers and computer control so we could get things off the early satellites and we can go to a remote. Now people just dial up on the phone and talk to someone. There's a little bit of a delay, little technical issues. So, what does Russia do in the last few years? Because they want their prominence back, at least Putin does. The people are probably like anybody else. They want a country where they can eat and live, their people, their children can grow and prosper. That's what most people want. I've traveled the planet, been to many places. So there was the Russia-Africa summit that Russia held. They hosted it, and guess where? In Sochi. We've heard of Sochi because it was built up because of the Olympics. I give Putin credit, because after all the money that the Olympic Committee and the International Olympic, all the countries put into this venue, and the venue has to contribute also, they built up the prominence and the hotels and everything else. So now they have an interesting city where they can hold meetings. So Russia invited all the African countries to a summit. In fact, it just happened in October on the 23rd and 24th, mainly. 54 African countries were represented. I'd say at least two-thirds of them were represented from top-level people, from the heads of those countries. But all 54 countries were there. Russia's resource agencies see great potential in discovering new deposits in Africa. If anybody had been listening over the last 5-10 years, Afghanistan, where we complain about this war we've been in, this never-ending war, why haven't we as Americans walked in there with our companies to develop? I remember articles that said there's easily over $1 trillion of good minerals that we use in this modern era in Afghanistan. if we would start to develop those and help those people do it, they might not be growing poppy. They might not be out in the street shooting each other, because they'd have money and they could build the infrastructure of their country. What happened to the general marshals? Where are our great leaders who know how to make this happen? This is not something that's unknown to us. So here's Russia now moving in. By the way, China has offered deals to a lot of African countries with the money that they never had till our greedy corporate heads decided, and there's nothing wrong with making money. I love our system. But when you decide to put your products in another country and you build up their economy while you keep our profits offshore and you deprive us of the growth we would have if we did more of it here or kept more of the revenue back here. So China builds up this tremendous wealth and they start using it. They have a controlled government and they have these great 5 and 10 year plans. We don't need a dictatorial leader. We need to be who Americans have always been, innovative, intellectual, working with other countries to help them build up so they want to partner with us. So, the same summit, Putin said he issued directives after the talks with African leaders. This came out of the Kremlin. Again, TASS, T-A-S-S, look them up. A lot of it is propaganda, but a lot of it is absolutely what's going on. Russia's ready to maintain defense cooperation with Mozambique. The more they put their power around, the more they grow, we get diminished. And I'm not saying we have to fight them, but let's not be stupid and sit back here, because we have a president who says, no, we got to take care of ourselves, and he's giving up all this stuff that we fought to keep free. Russia-African cooperation is to be based on, and I love this one, on principles of justice and respect for rights. This statement came out of Vladimir Putin's mouth. Now, anybody who has studied Russia and the Soviet Union, the thing that was always well known is they controlled your rights and what you could and couldn't do. When the curtain fell, I had wished that Gorbachev, instead of Yeltsin, I've talked about that before, had remained in charge, because he understood that, well, one of the comments, and I assume this, a lot of times when I go on the internet and I read comments, I can answer anybody's comment that's out there. But as I said before, when we use harsh comments, and that doesn't mean they're not real, but if we get too harsh, we're wasting emotions where we could use those emotions and channel them to change things for the better. So, statement that I've heard many times, Africa was raped and is still being for their natural resources. Well, the British in the old colonial days, they were the power that went out and took over other countries and used them for their resources. Then we became the predominant power, and they were sometimes saying we're colonializing different places and stuff. We also went places where maybe we shouldn't have cooperated with people as much as we did, but we paid them something. Everything wasn't pure and simple. We had to deal with governments who didn't always do it. And I'll get to that, because all of this forgiveness of debt is also based upon where these countries go. So you can look up Sochi, look up the recent African-Russian summit. Russia and Turkey, I've said, Russia gave them. They said they sold them to them. Strategically, Russia gave them those missiles, the S-400s, advanced missiles, that basically neutralize the use of a lot of our weapons, our planes that are right there in Turkey and other parts of Europe. How the hell do you take a plane off, which is when it's for gathering speed, when someone hits a button, launches a missile, and that plane disappears with all the people in it? So we have been stupid in allowing these things to happen. And we are stupid in having someone who says, oh, this is great. Remember, after he let Turkey come in, now he's going to go back and solve the problem. As I said a week or so ago, I said he offered to mediate. Mediate what? The gang war that he said, okay, let's have it. And then he told them, well, you better behave or we can come back in. And now, what is he saying? We're oil independent. This is what the man has told us. And he's saying, we're putting troops in Saudi Arabia to guard the oil fields? They're not our oil fields. Isn't he the man who said, what are we giving these people money for when we need it? And now he wants to keep people to guard the oil fields. Can't he just say he was wrong? He should have talked to his Pentagon advisors. So now Russia and Turkey are concluding a deal on advanced fighter jets. Donald Trump is saying about how he's selling our weaponry to people, making money for us. Well, his dear friend, Mr. Putin, is beating him to it, and he's getting out of the way and allowing it to happen. Turkey is closing deals on fighter jets, but why? Because Russia is saying, hey, we'll even let you manufacture some of the components in your country. So that looks good, because Turkey is going to build their economy, we're going to make part of the thing, and we're going to get these advanced fighter jets. So now, not only missiles, we're going to have Russian fighter jets right next to where our stuff is. Why are we wasting our time if we're being that stupid? So Russia, under Putin, is being smarter than the man he seems to control. I give Vladimir a lot of credit for being an intelligence agent from the KGB who knows how to control a resource and get benefit out of it. Again, go to TASS. Again, half of it's propaganda, the slope on it. Look, when we do news, we have different stations and cable networks that they're leaning is more to the right, more to the left. But after a while, you've got to listen to them all. Out of all of it, if you put it together, you can kind of get what's happening and going on. Or you may agree with one side or the other, but you'll at least know what's going on. Russia's resource agency, again, they're talking about developing all of the resources that are in Africa. As I said, in the 30s, it's not unknown. Putin also said, and again, go to TASS. They love quoting him because he's the boss, really, when it comes down to it. Russia's exports, they export weapons to several dozen African countries. And President Putin said that part of the supplies of these weapons were being provided on a gratuitous basis. So wait a minute. They're giving Russian weapons to African countries so that they gain a foothold and we have more conflict going on, which we want to later go in and help these people who are dying from this. We're not looking at the disease. We're looking at the result. And then we come in with our Doctors Without Borders or other things before the doctors have to fix these people. Let's make sure that these countries have our aid and can grow in a more open and free fashion. Russian military police, after Trump had that call and said, oh yeah, go ahead, go into Syria. The Russians who were in Syria already flew over to that spot, and it's Russian military police beside the Turkish who are patrolling that border. And actually, the one good thing is the Russians don't want to be heard as saying they're kicking our soldiers out or kicking or killing people. So they're actually slowing Erdogan down from not killing all the people he wanted to ethnically cleanse. Russia, China, and the EAUE. The EAUE. This is the Eurasian Economic Union. That's not the European Economic Union. These are all of the Eastern Bloc countries that are still aligned with Russia and North and South Asian countries that they deal with. They support open trade. So while we did not go ahead with the TPP, which would have given all of the Pacific countries and us an interactive treaty that would offset China's growth. We just got rid of it with no replacement. Sound interesting again? Repeal, but don't replace? The DBPR resident was killed, according to, again, TASS News Agency, by shelling from Ukrainian forces. So what is TASS reporting about? TASS is reporting that the Ukrainians on the western side, that part they didn't take over yet, the eastern side is Crimea. Some DBPR residents, while they're fighting up and back with the Russians, they don't call it the Russians. The DBPR kind of stands for the Democratic People's Republic. I'm making it simple. There are fancier terms for it. So they're only talking about the shells coming from the western side of the Ukraine, harming people in the eastern part where they forcibly took over. Again, they don't stop when they want to take a territory. Look at TASS, look at what's going on. He is allowing the Russians to take positions that they never would have strategically gotten away with when we worked with our allies. So it's like saying every person who died in World War II, every battle we did to stop the spread of dictatorships, fascism, whatever you want to call it, and spread freedom, is being thrown off. Trump just announced, one of his sons, I think it was Eric who talks too quickly, he leases that post office near the White House. Since he has all this conflict about all the money he's making, he's saying, you know what, he may sell it. Because actually he had to wait 3 years before he could do it. It's a lease, but you can sell a lease. And what are they talking about? Since all these foreign countries have been spending the money there to impress him and interact with him, when you value a property, you look at the income it's getting. He's talking about a $500 million sale to transfer the lease that our government gave him. People, if anybody pays him that, it is not to get that lease. It's to pay him off for things that he's done. Because when he leaves the White House, people are not going to flood in there to impress him and put money in his pocket. You've got to understand the economics. This is, again, in front of everybody. He intends to get $500 million out of our old post office, where at the end he not only rushed its completion before he got in office, but he didn't even want to pay the contractor. Anyway, let me give you a good thing that Donald did. 144 years ago, we put out a U.S. postal pack. We have a great postal system. I've seen them in other countries. But this pact was kind of worldwide, where we gave cutdowns to everybody. But you know what? To mail a one-pound package, Chinese pay to send stuff here, $2.50, it cost us $10 to deliver it. They're making enough money off us. He's right. Different administrations have tried it. We should drop that 144-year-old agreement. These countries are not. And by the way, one of the chief Saudi princes just said what Mick Mulvaney said. He said, we should get over it and stop being babies and just accept what's going on, is basically what he said. So we're almost done. I could keep going on forever with these. I just wanted to give you a look at what's happening without just talking about everything that you're seeing. Inquiries are held in secure places to gather information. Republicans and Democrats are in these committees that are in those rooms. Everybody will hear about it when it's done if they go forward. He will constantly give you a spin on it. Stop being on the merry-go-round. Follow what's happening. Jerry, again, we know what George Washington did to some of his slaves. we can all go back and find things. You know, the famous thing was George Washington chopped down the cherry tree, and when he was asked, he told about it, so he admitted his wrongdoing. You know, there's that famous saying, let he who is pure cast the first stone. We're done for today. I want you guys to really think about what's going on there, and I want you to support your government. I want you to come out in droves. I want you to get people, new people in Congress. I want you to not vote as a party. Vote as an American. Let's change what's happening. Have a great weekend. It's been wonderful talking to you, and I hope you all think about everything I've said.